It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Sheikh Javed, since we are talking about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein and also more specifically
Arbaeen pilgrimage. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. We are talking about some of the vows and pledges people make, especially when it comes to Imam Hussein's mourning and, or Arbaeen season, for example. All right. And, some people make their pledge, and specify to the day of Arbaeen, and they have to perform it, in fact, or they should perform it, in fact, or, for example, if it is offering food on the day of Arbaeen, all right?
Yeah.
Can it be also performed, they fulfill their pledge, for example, on the Arbaeen Eve or a day before it or a day after it? Can it be possible?
As I said in one of the previous in one of my answers to the previous questions, if a person utters the specific prescribed formula of Nazr, he is under the obligation to fulfill it and to act according to the pledge made by him. And he cannot go against it, or he cannot violate it in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, if he has fixed a date, he should move ahead in according with it. And of course, if he has not made any, if he has not vowed, if he has not read or uttered the formula of Nazr, of course, in that case, the Nazr is not binding, and of course, he can move the date as he sees fit.
Mm-hmm.
He can change the date and fulfill it whenever he wishes to do, because the day and the time is not fixed. So he can act in any way, manner he deems fit, because the day is not fixed.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sheikh Javid, some of the donations made by believers and people for the purpose of, for example, buying cups, tea, sugar, and other items, needed to serve the believers or the pilgrims during the ceremonies of the Arbaeen season. And some of these donations may have remained, in fact, or
yes.
They are unused, basically,
unused.
Right? So can they be spent, these unused remainder of the donations from the previous season of Arbaeen, for example, or the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, can we, let's say, use the unused donations during the year or throughout the year in commemoration of Imam Hussein, obviously, all right?
Yeah.
Or do we have to, or should we keep it for the next season of Arbaeen?
Well, deposit, using the remaining amount or the remaining portion of donations,
mm-hmm.
depends on the purpose for which the donors have donated. If the donors, the actual donors, consent to the consumption of the money and the deposited amount, there's no objection. And of course, everything should be carried out in accordance with the consent of the donors. And even the money can be, in fact, if they want, they can use it for any other purpose, depending on the consent of the donors. And if the donors have donated the money or given their money in charity for a specific purpose, then that money, which is left over, must be spent according to that specific purpose for which the money has been donated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a break again, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
dark in the night with millions of stars. Your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces, who are you?
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about the Arba'in pilgrimage and the morning ceremony of Imam Hussein. Sheikh Javed, you know, we know that, you know, there is a sawab or rewards mentioned in the reports in the Hadith corpus, in fact, in the especially Shia corpus we are talking about, for those people who want to take the Arba'in pilgrimage, right? So in order to be entitled to those rewards, is it necessary, is it required to be in Karbala specifically? And also to be there on the very day of Arba'in? Or is it enough to be just around that time or around the place?
Well, there is no doubt as to the fact that taking part in the procession is highly recommended, and walking alongside other people and millions of people on during Arba'in. Of course, 1 or 2 days or 1 week even before the Arba'in is highly recommended. Mm-hmm. It's good to be there, and to it's good not only for one's spirituality but also as a display of unity. It is recommended, but there are special reports which, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, stresses these reports stress on the need to be on in Karbala on the day of Arba'in. So there are special narrations, there are special reports to the effect that being there on the day of Arba'in is highly recommended, and one should be there on the same very day, because that day is there's only one day called Arba'in. So on that day, specific day, one should be present there if he wants to gain the special reward. There is a special reward for being there. So one cannot replace it with a day before or a day after the 40th day of Arba'in, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei.
But sometimes problems occur, all right?
Yeah.
And for example, somebody asked this question, which is quite relevant, I guess, to this question and to the discussion we have right now, and this is what he says. I am the supervisor of one of the caravans that undertake the Arba'in pilgrimage on foot. We arrive in Karbala before the day of Arba'in. Is it necessary to be present in Karbala on the day of Arba'in to count as having performed the Arba'in pilgrimage, or can we leave Karbala before the day of Arba'in in order to avoid the overwhelming crowds of that day?
Of course, it's heavily crowded on the day of Arba'in. According to His Eminence, based on the fatwa or the answer he has given, there's no mandatory Sharia ruling against leaving Karbala prior to the day of Arba'in. Because when we look at Arba'in itself and the ziyara that we recite on this day, and also the visitation that takes place on this day, it is recommended. So there's nothing mandatory about Arba'in. It is permissible for a person to leave Karbala prior to the day of Arba'in, unless the caravan management or its members have made an agreement to be in Karbala on the day of Arba'in. So there is nothing mandatory, and it is quite permissible to leave Karbala a day or two before it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice comments and answers to my questions regarding the Arba'een pilgrimage and the morning ceremony of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Thank you, my dear listeners, to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. I will bid you farewell, and we earnestly ask for your praying for us. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein plan to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new